Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rip my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
If you are the best choice for the Democrats in 2020, why didn't President Obama endorse
you? I asked President Obama not to endorse, and he doesn't want to. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
Joe Biden asking President Obama not to endorse him, so Obama didn't. It's a very smart move on their part. Thinking that whoever wins the nomination should do it on their own merit. I wonder how Bernie Sanders feels about that one. You know, 4 years ago, 2015 primary, DNC, Hillary Clinton. You might remember that story. How ridiculous. Joe Biden's running for president. Who cares? I don't care. Do you care?
Nothing
Tony,
new.
Do you care? Katie, do you care?
He's been running
for weeks. Since
nothing new.
Like December of 2016.
He's never stopped running.
314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Here's my question to you. And I will preface this entire conversation with the fact that I have had a headache that is blistering my temples right now. And thinking about talking about Joe Biden for 3 hours makes the headache worse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, in the landscape of the Democratic Party right now, do you care who's running in what month is it? April of 2019. The election is November of 2020. People are going to get in. People are going to get out. We can pick apart and we can, you know, observe all the details. And I can tell you all the reasons why I think Joe Biden wouldn't be a good president. And I have 18 months to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, I don't know. I'm basically like washing out my job, my duties every day for the next 18 months and saying, like, do the American people left and right, do they care right now who is running for president on the Democratic side, or don't they? So if you have an opinion on that, if you want to guide me and my, I mean, I'm certainly going to be paying attention to all of this. I'm certainly going to be reading the articles and watching news coverage and consuming it, knowing mostly, except for the people whose names I've never heard of, who are running for president.
Mm-hmm.
They still count. I get it. But how much do you want to, like, immerse yourself in the minutiae of a Democratic presidential primary?
It's so early. It's so early.
People are saying stupid things a lot.
Than Joe Biden. When it comes to this sort of attitude in some parts of the party about wanting somebody more progressive, wanting more diversity, do you think Joe Biden would commit to having a woman as his running mate?
That's presumptuous. We are not going to make any kind of commitments at this point. He just announced this morning that he's running for president.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous, right?
The question, if you didn't hear it, is while I pledge to have a woman running mate, I will have a woman running mate. To me, it's really clear that we do that.
Can we please get somebody with a to run for president with me? Because all I need is an appropriate body part. And how do we define what a woman is anymore? If you want to have a woman running mate, what is a woman running mate? Because that line is even blurred right now. Everything is awful. It's ridiculous.
Everything is awful.
I can't. I mean, they're the ones who are setting the rules. And I'm here just trying to abide by the rules, continue to keep my job by not saying something offensive to somebody for 3 hours, 5 days a week. And these are their rules. You want a woman running mate, Cory Booker? Well, please explain to me what a woman running mate looks like to you. How do you define that woman running mate? I don't know that you can. Because I don't understand the rules. I just don't get it.
Rules?
I don't understand how... No, I get it. But Cory Booker saying he's going to commit to having a woman running mate is the most patronizing thing that somebody can say going into a presidential election. Men need not apply. Because he is an African-American male. Check. Oh, but the male part. How do we rectify that? Well, let's find a chick to put on the bottom of the ticket. But she's got to be on the bottom of the ticket because, you know, patriarchy. Mm. I don't get it. It's bizarre to me. And I don't understand how female Democrats hear that and, like, put their fists, pump them in the air and go, that's right. That's what we want to be. We want to be on that ticket because we are a woman, not because you deserve to be there. Where's the championing of Sarah Palin when she ran as John McCain, an old white dude, veteran, who Republicans, in large part, wouldn't even vote for anymore? We didn't see that championing. Well, what they did is they tried to turn her into a dumb bimbo. That's what they tried to do. They tried to sex her up and make her stupid, which is what the Democrats, especially in Hollywood, did to Sarah Palin. That's what they did to her. That's what the party of identity politics in April of 2019 is willing to say they're going to commit to. Just put a woman in there. Because if we get any woman on the bottom of the Cory Booker ticket, that's better than a really qualified and really good man. It doesn't make sense. Your identity politics is tripping up all over itself, and I don't know how to play this game. I'm just going to come sit over here. It's April. I'm going to go sit on the sidelines. It's like we're in the minor leagues right now, and we're trying to see who's going to get called up in September to play for the big leagues, and it's child's play. I just don't understand it.
Joe Biden has the most measured campaign so far. He's someone that has the right people coming out, not giving direct answers like Cory Booker. Like, his spokesperson was like, it's too early in the game. And you can tell that he's done this before, whereas everybody else in the campaign is, like you said, tripping all over what they believe and what they say. But he's very measured.
Completely. He's a professional politician, which is not what Donald Trump was.
No.
let's get the most polished old white. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, if Joe Biden is the nominee, and they run against Trump, Trump's not the old white guy running for president. Both of those dudes are older than he is. So you got to get a chick in here somewhere. Can we get somebody who's not an old white guy, who's moderately wealthy, who hasn't had financial success and hasn't spent decades and decades of their career in government and profited on it? Can we get one of those on the bottom of the ticket? Because we're going to need to level this establishment out a little bit. How stupid do they think we are? I mean, clearly they think we're pretty stupid. Listen to this.
You know, 11 million people living in the shadows, I believe they're already American citizens. Teddy Roosevelt said it better. He said, Americanism is not a question of birthplace or creed or a line of descent. It's a question of principles, idealism, and character. These people are just waiting for a chance to be able to contribute fully. And by that standard, 11 million undocumented aliens are already Americans, in my view. All they want, they just want a decent life for the kids, a chance to contribute to a free society, a chance to put down roots and help build the next great American century.
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case!
Overruled.
Good call!
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. What?
It's about what you think you are.
It's about principles. It's not, citizenship doesn't have anything to do with where you're born. Actually, that's the only thing. You could be born to American citizens, not on American soil, and you're gonna have a problem. This is pandering at its best from the left. If you have these people waiting in the shadows. They're just waiting for their chance to contribute more. No, if they were doing that, they'd be in line to immigrate here the way we have it lawfully set up. That would be the people who respect the rule of law, respect the sovereignty of our country, and are actually waiting to contribute in a meaningful and respectful way to the United States of America, Joe Biden. If you're going to want to be the president of these United States, maybe you should actually consider that we have boundaries around these United States, and it's something we're protecting. I'm shocked at the obnoxiousness of what these leftist candidates are willing to throw at us to see what tickles our fancy. And it's April of 2019, which is why, with the headache that I have right now in my head, which I might be blaming the weather for, among other things, it's very frustrating. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. John, thanks for calling the show.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, John.
You know what? The left is always undermining everyone. It's kind of funny. They have this strategy that Joe Biden is a moderate, and he's going to go in and try to sweep away Bernie Sanders, his supporters at the beginning of his campaign, and then he's going to sweep more to the middle at the end of his campaign. Why don't he just be honest like Donald Trump is and come out and say, this is who I am, this is what I stand for, and then if you get elected, do what you say you're going to do? Because I'm going to tell you something. I hope Bernie Sanders and I hope Joe Biden actually make it on stage with Donald Trump, because it's going to be a bloodbath with these two.
It's going to be something to see, that's for sure.
I am getting out the beer and the popcorn and the chips and everything that makes me fat, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to laugh until I choke to death for being so freaking happy that this is coming down, because I can't wait.
John, thank you for brightening
your
mind.
Show.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. John's in a good mood.
Revved up.
Yeah, I like it. I just... Can we stand 18 months of this goofiness? Listen to this drama. This is so much drama.
That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy
for
President of the United States. Folks, America's an idea. An idea that's stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant.
What does he mean by that?
You know what he's also doing that everyone predicted? And everyone has been saying that the Democratic Party needs to let go. He is solely running on the idea that he needs to be everything that Donald Trump isn't. Mm-hmm. He is using Donald Trump. I am the anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. I am so much different than him with no policies presented.
You know, he said in that clip you played a minute ago that the illegal aliens that are already here, he considers to be American citizens.
Yeah.
Already.
Oh,
I'm looking at an article from the Boston Globe. This is President Barack Obama in October of 2006.
Oh, this will be good.
President Barack Obama on the Senate floor in October 2006 praised a certain piece of legislation, saying it would provide better fences and better security along our borders and would help stem some of the tide of illegal immigration into this country. He was talking about the Secure Fence Act of 2006, authorizing a barrier along the southern border. It was passed into law with the support of 26 Democratic senators, including...
I was going to say, in 06, there'd still be a lot of our friendly faces there.
Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and Chuck Schumer. Joe Biden would have
been, the moderate,
vice president,
rational Democrats in the Senate.
But he was supporting it, yeah. So you had Hillary Clinton, who I guess in 06 would have still been in the Senate. That's the way I read this article, at least. I'll have to look back. Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, all supported the Secure Fence Act of 2006, which, I mean, the Secure Fence Act of 2006 says you don't need me to read the bill to tell you what it means.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But now, the people that are here illegally, so that was to stem the tide of illegal immigration into this country and to provide better security along our borders. That's where Joe was in 2006. That's a little while back, but that's not 1986. It's not 1970. It's not like, oh, you're going and pulling something back from 30 years ago.
No,
dude, this is when you were vice president of the United States in 2006. It's not that long ago.
Close, 2008.
You shouldn't have changed all the... Right, you're right. So you shouldn't...
On his way. That's when he was wanting to be the president of the United States.
Right. So you shouldn't have changed that much in that short amount of time.
It's wild. So Joe Biden's running for president. Everybody,
so yeah, I guess,
thanks for tuning in to find out this new late-breaking information.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. It wasn't President Obama in October 2. It was Senator Obama on the Senate floor in 2006, getting support from Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, and Hillary Clinton.
Worse.
Wow, amazing.
Good times.
Amazing.
I don't have anything else to say. Joe Biden's running for president. I'm speechless. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Shocker.
What am I going to do for the next 18 months? I was waiting for this announcement to happen later. Now I've got to fill all these months of time talking about Joe Biden and his hair smelling. Highlights when we come back. 314-241-9797. John Kelly, the play-by-play announcer of the St. Louis Blues on Fox Sports Midwest, is going to join us at 1240. There's a game tonight. Not at school starting time, at 6:45, like the baseball games. Mm-hmm. This one would be at 8:45,
mm-hmm.
which means I can probably get a nap in before the game starts.
Before the game.
And that's probably going to need to happen. I'm going to need some Excedrin, 40 ounces of water,
mm-hmm.
a nap, and then I'll be rearing to go for the Blues. So John Kelly is joining us at 12:40. Tyrus at 1:10, and you might have heard of her, Abby Johnson, the pro-life advocate on her new film, Unplanned. This woman is making a difference in the world, and we're talking to her at 2:10. Stay tuned. A lot more Annie Fry Show in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We can't
relive it. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to be with you today. A rainy Thursday, but there's hockey tonight, which is probably brightening everyone's day on its own. Who sings this song?
REO Speedwagon, I think.
Yeah.
Frank, all right.
Frank picked music today, so I'm enjoying the surprise of the music.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah. I don't know if you're right. I'm trusting that you're right.
I didn't have my headphones on, so I only heard it for a minute.
Will you watch the Blues game tonight?
Yeah.
Katie? Katie says no.
I'll just get the reviews from you guys.
Katie will get the text.
My problem
the tweets
is
when we say
as I have been bad horn. Luck. I think I'd mentioned this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I turn on the games, they start playing badly.
Yeah,
I didn't turn on Game 6 until like 10 minutes to go. It was 3-0, and then it was 3-2 before the game was over, and I was like, "Dang,
you're cursed."
Welcome every. I didn't turn on Game. What would have been 3, I think, the one that went into overtime. I didn't turn that game on until it was in overtime, and then as soon as I turned it on, the Jets scored and won the game in overtime. So I'm.
So what are you doing tonight? Since
I'm
you're not going to be watching the Blues game.
To watch the game, I mean, I want to, but I'm afraid to turn it on.
Yeah,
bad luck, and I'm big time superstitious like that. So
yeah, I get it.
Now let's get to the highlights.
Okay, which one of these do we want to do?
The one on the right.
Do you remember when Hillary Clinton? You, not that you have it like readily available, but you've played these clips many times on this show of her talking about how dangerous it is to question our elections. When Donald Trump was asked, will you accept the results of this election if you lose? And he said, yes, unless I see proof that there was shenanigans, and if I think that there's proof that there was shenanigans, then no, I wouldn't support it. And she just went off for weeks talking about how dangerous it is to upset our elections and to question them. And for 200 years we've had a transitional a peaceful transition of power after presidential elections, and to say that you're not going to accept that is so dangerous for our country and bad. That was her then. Now, in a fiery op-ed published in the Washington Post, the former Secretary of State and Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton, charged special counsel Robert Mueller's report a serious crime against the American people. She says, quote, "Our election was corrupted, our democracy assaulted, our sovereignty and security violated. This is the definitive conclusion of special counsel Robert S. Mueller and his report. It documents a serious crime against the American people." This is Hillary Clinton in an op-ed in the Washington Post.
When did we first know that this collusion was happening?
She says,
not the collusion, that this interference was happening. When did we first find out that this was taking place?
I feel like I've known it forever.
It was like in 2014.
Yeah.
And you know who was in charge in 2014? Do you know who was like the Secretary of State?
Going into
the last 2 years.
They've tried to create chaos in our elections before 2016.
And you know who was in charge?
They being the Russians.
Of handling this. Not Donald Trump.
Right.
So, if anything, abdicating your responsibilities to make sure that we find out the full-fledged information and putting it out there and putting a stop to it. You know, like, we heard recently that, like, Donald Trump has been, he's been given some information about potential Russian meddling in the 2020 election. He's like, I'm not going to hear it. Well,
right.
Hopefully our Justice Department, our investigative teams are going to be, like, right on it.
Yeah, on top.
Politically speaking, especially in front of
the
world, he's not going to be, like, leading the charge against that. But he better be as the president of the United States, owning up to his responsibilities to push his investigative teams into making sure that stopped happening, just like Obama should have, leading into the 2016 election.
Why does everybody on the left always forget? I feel like people on the right do, too. Yes, we've proven that the Russians tried to screw with our elections, but they took out ads pro-Hillary Clinton, pro-Donald Trump. They were just trying to create chaos.
And
they wanted us to question, and they succeeded.
And they
succeeded. Wanted to question. They wanted us all to question our elections.
Undermine our
they
process.
They wanted to create chaos, undermine our process, and they were successful. I just want to read a little bit more of this. Clinton says, "This is personal for me, and some may say I'm not the right messenger. The debate about how to respond to Russia's sweeping and systematic attack and how to hold the president accountable for obstructing the investigation and possibly breaking the law has been reduced to a false choice. Immediate impeachment or nothing." Clinton suggests there's a better way to think about the choices ahead. Doesn't sound like somebody who is worried about the dangers of questioning the results of an election. Unbelievable. Take it away, Frank!
Here's a twist. Embattled St. Louis City prosecuting attorney Kim Gardner has filed a lawsuit against the special prosecutors that are investigating her office.
Ooh, that is a twist.
She alleges the special prosecutor Gerard Cromarty and his law firm are violating the state's Sunshine Law. He was appointed by a grand jury last year to investigate perjury allegations against investigator William Tisby, who Gardner hired. Gardner claims she sought a number of records from Carmody's firm in a public records request, which the firm denied since they're not a governmental body.
Trump said he had a great meeting Tuesday with Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey hours after bashing the company and accusing it of not treating him well because he's a Republican. Lots of subjects discussed regarding their platform and the world of social media in general. Looking forward to keeping an open dialogue, Trump tweeted to his nearly 60 million followers. Twitter described the meeting with Dorsey as constructive and said it came at the president's invitation. They discussed Twitter's commitment to protecting the health of the public conversation ahead of the 2020 U.S. elections and its efforts underway to respond to the opioid crisis.
The Cardinals and Brewers battled through the elements yesterday in the finale of a three-game sweep for the Birds. 5-2 was the final, good for their fifth straight win and a league-leading 15-9 record.
Yeah.
Adam Wainwright with just one run allowed in six innings, marking his 150th career victory. He's just the fifth Cardinal all-time to record that many wins. The Birds are off today. The Cincinnati Reds come to Busch starting tomorrow night for a three-game series. The Blues open their second-round playoff series with the Dallas Stars tonight with an opening face-off just after 8:30 p.m., 8:45. With NBC taking over scheduling, game times have finally been released for games 2 through 5 of the series. Saturday's home game is at 2 at Enterprise Center. Games 3 and 4 in Dallas, 7 p.m. Monday and 8:30 p.m. Wednesday, followed by game 5 next Friday night back here in St. Louis, if needed, at 8:30 p.m.
Game 5 if needed, Tony?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Blues in 2.
There you go.
It's decreasing.
Now, it's interesting. The Blues' road to the Cup got a little easier last night as the Carolina Hurricanes advanced past the defending Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals 4-3 in overtime. All four of the division-winning teams have been eliminated from the playoffs.
Blues are...
I don't think Katie knows what any of that means.
Mm-mm. Yes, she does. She wrote that report for you.
I did that.
She's over there shaking her head.
You copyrighted that for me. No.
Yes, she does.
I didn't copyright it.
She doesn't. Well, let's talk to John Kelly, the play-by-play announcer for the St. Louis Blues and Fox Sports Midwest. When we come back, stay tuned for that. I can't wait to ask him about what he expects tonight and what it's going to be like to watch these Blues one more round closer to owning that Stanley Cup. It's very exciting for St. Louis, and I feel like as somebody who is a Blues fan and not a dedicated hockey fan, this is the way it always works. This is how this happens. You suck me in, and I'm cheering for you, and I'm excited for St. Louis, and then, yikes. Is it going to happen against Dallas? Tony says Blues in four. That's your real prediction, right? You can't say Blues...
Blues in
your lack of confidence
six,
is
ever-changing.
Yeah, he said all of them now. I just think he doesn't want to lose to Frank again. Although Frank didn't win.
Hey! Yeah, Frank didn't win.
He was closer than you. He never changed his
Are
prediction.
Are you kidding me? That dummy said Blues in seven, and it was six. He wasn't even close.
You changed your prediction twice.
He screwed that up big time.
No, he didn't. He was close. He said Blues in six this time. So
he doesn't know.
We'll see. John Kelly.
If there's one thing that we proved, it's that he doesn't know.
Whatever makes you sleep well at night, Tony Colombo. John Kelly, the play-by-play announcer at Fox Sports Midwest for the St. Louis Blues when we come back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
St. Louis Blues back in action tonight in NHL playoffs. Very excited to watch that game starting at 8:45 p.m. And you will be hearing John Kelly's voice, the play-by-play extraordinaire for Fox Sports Midwest. John Kelly joins us now. John, thanks for coming on the show with us today.
My pleasure, Annie. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. It's a good day when we get to watch a playoff hockey game. What are we expecting against Dallas in this series?
Well, it's going to be a very good series. Obviously, the Blues beat the Jets 6, and Dallas dispatched a perfect. That's one issue.
I think he dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get John Kelly back.
Again.
Yeah, we'll get back on there.
Yep.
Do you expect Dallas to be?
Yes.
Like. One of the more competitive teams that we're going to... I mean, like Frank was just reporting...
We're to the point now where there's no easy lunch.
Nothing you can count on.
Every game, every team that's left is... There's, you know, Frank said in that sports segment, and it's true, you know, all the division leaders are gone, and that's probably a good thing because they're the teams that, you know, finish the season better than other teams, and that's good, but... There's no, at this point, it's like, oh, they're our favorable matchup. They're, you know, Blues had a better record against this team than that team. So that's the team you want to play. I don't really believe any of that once you get to this point of the playoffs, because we're at a point now where every team, every game is legit. And it's going to be tough no matter who you're playing.
Well, we got John back. John's
all right. Great.
John, you there?
Yeah, sorry. We lost each other. Sorry.
It's either the weather or Dallas trying to screw things up for us here. So
yeah, there you go. Let's play better in Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you expecting from this series? You know, long series, short series? What are we going to get from Dallas?
I think it's going to be a very tough series. Dallas played the Blues very tough this year. They beat them out of four. They're a very well-coached team under rookie coach Jim Montgomery, a former Blue. A good defensive team that has an excellent goaltender in St. Louis and Ben Bishop. So I expect it's going to be a really tough series. And they have one of the hottest lines in hockey, their top line of Sagan, Ben, and Radulov, assuming they do play together. I was watching some of their games in the last series, and at times those three were split up. But either way, it's going to be a tough challenge, and I would expect this to be a 6 or 7 game series.
What do you think about Binnington so far? I mean, it seems as though this guy is really something special for the St. Louis Blues.
Well, it's been a storybook beginning to his career. He's a rookie, but he's 25 years old. And he spent a lot of time in the minors, in the American Hockey League, riding buses. Spent a lot of time in junior hockey in Canada riding buses. So he's paid his dues, and he's ready for the moment. And I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that he's very cool and calm in goal, and nothing seems to rattle him. And, you know, he's won some huge games in tough buildings. And obviously to win a series like the Blues did against a very good Winnipeg team, and they won all three games in Winnipeg this year in the series, I mean, that shows you that he's got a lot of mental toughness, and I don't think he'll be rattled by the moment, whether it's the first round, the second round, and hopefully for the Blues, it goes even deeper than that. But he seems to handle everything that's been thrown at him so far.
He's been fun to watch, for sure. Mm-hmm.
John, Tony Colombo here. Like you, I'm sure, and so many of our listeners that have been Blues fans for decades, it's this time of year that we all start to worry about that collapse that we have seen, unfortunately, over and over again. We've seen great Blues teams just get into the playoffs and not be able to get the job done. What do you see about this team that could maybe be the one that breaks that tradition and does something special in these playoffs?
Well, I think right now that this Blues team doesn't have a weakness. And that doesn't mean they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I'm not predicting a cup. I think they can win the cup. I think they have the components. But by that I mean is they're deep up front. They had 13 players this year score 10 goals or more. They have a very good big blue line with a lot of size and skill. And they have the goaltending. So, I mean, that's what it takes. You can't have a weakness in your game or in your team if you expect to go deep. So that's why I think that this team, in my mind, has the best chance to win a cup from any team that I've seen in recent memory. And, you know, going back a couple of years ago, in 16, the Blues went to the third round. But I think they have a better team this year than they did back in 16. An example is that on that year's club, they had 8 players get 10 goals or more. This year, as I said, they had 13. So they're a deeper team. As I said, very solid defense. And Binnington has been superb in goals. So we'll see where it takes them. I think they have as good a chance as any team right now to win a Stanley Cup.
We're speaking with John Kelly, the play-by-play announcer for the St. Louis Blues on Fox Sports Midwest. So, John, I have a question for you. I'm a big Blues fan, and not as much as I would say like a pure hockey fan, because I didn't grow up seeing it. So I'm constantly trying to learn the game. But there's one thing that I'll say when watching the games is that as the play-by-play announcer, John, it's intense. How do you prepare for, I mean, hockey has, there's no downtime. There's no like in between innings where, you know, you're warming up the pitcher's arms or, you know, in football, there's so much downtime between plays. Hockey is so nonstop. And as the play-by-play announcer, you know, I speak for 3 hours here on a weekday basis. Man, you've got to give it everything you got. How do you prepare for that? And how do you get through all of these games with the intensity that you need to have to deliver to your viewers?
Well, you have to be ready, and you have to know the players, quite simply. You know, a lot of people ask me that question. You know, how do you know all the names and the numbers? Well, you don't have time to look down at a monitor and see who has the puck. It's just...
You just have to know.
It's old-fashioned knowing the players. And I think the biggest thing is anticipation. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be around the NHL all my life, and my dad was a broadcaster.
So I understand how to anticipate and to know where the puck probably is going to go, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's probably the biggest thing is anticipation. But you're right. They are very intense. I'll give you a little anecdote. After game, let's see, the game the Blues scored late to win in Winnipeg, game five it was, when Schwartz scored with 15 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
That game was so intense. It was so unbelievable. We flew home after the game, and I got home about 2:30 to my house, and I still couldn't sleep. So this is at 2:30. I'm still wired
from
the game that ended at 10:30. That's just how intense they are. You're right.
It's got to just be very natural. I mean, the speed with which the game is played, I mean, I think you either have the ability to do that or you don't. Like you're saying, you just got to know the names. You got to be able to anticipate. I'm as a broadcaster myself, I am as interested in listening to the way that you are able to usher the viewer through the game and illustrate what's happening with your voice and your inflection. And I would think that, you know, you score that goal of 15 seconds left. It's probably like as a fan of the Blues, I'm sure. And as somebody who's been watching this long journey, you probably kind of get to experience that over and over again after you're done calling the game and be like, wow, that was really something special just as a fan of what you're getting to see.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I've been lucky enough to be broadcasting now for close to 30 years in the NHL. It truly was one of the most remarkable comebacks that I've ever had a chance to witness. I mean, the Blues were down by two goals going to the third. They tie the game. And then Schwartz scores a rather improbable game winner with 15 seconds left to give them a 3-2 lead in the series. It was a thrilling moment against a very good team in a very tough environment, the Winnipeg Arena. It's a small arena, very loud, and for the Blues to go in there and win all three games was quite incredible.
You guys want to know what I think this team has that sets them apart from Blues teams in the past?
What's that?
Gloria.
There you go. John, right. Laura Brandon.
John, at the end of game six, you know, it got a little dicey there at the end. Winnipeg did not go quietly into the night, and it got a little intense at the end of that game. And as the clock went to triple zeros, and you said you can start singing Gloria. I thought that was one of the coolest moments of the year. And Gloria is like my favorite sports thing in decades. How much fun are you and that team and this town having with this whole Gloria thing?
You know, I think it's fantastic, and it's sort of become their winning theme song. It all began in Philadelphia, ironically enough, the night that Binnington started his first game and shut out the Flyers. It started, a couple of players were watching the Eagles game, and I guess the song Gloria came on in the restaurant or the bar, wherever, and they sort of thought it was a really catchy song, and they decided at that time that they were going to play it when the Blues won. And ironically enough, again, they won that game in Philadelphia, and ever since then, they've been the best team in hockey, and they're playing that song after every victory. So, yeah, it was a really cool moment. I knew the Blues, they had told me they were going to play the song if they did win and, you know, play it during the handshake. But the timing of it was really cool that I said that, and then the song sort of came a couple of seconds later. It was really a fun moment for I think, for everybody.
I loved it.
Those organic things are usually the most fun to just be a part of. Well, John Kelly, we will be tuning in tonight to listen to you, and hopefully we get a Blues win out of it. And we really appreciate your time today. Go Blues.
Yeah, by the way, we're not televising the game, Annie, as you probably know.
Yeah.
National TV has it, but we will have post-game coverage on Fox Sports Midwest right after the game.
We will be tuning in. Thank you so much, John Kelly. Pleasure to speak with you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Mm-hmm. So I guess, are they on NBC then? Probably?
It bounces around.
Yeah, yeah, we'll check that
tonight's
out.
Tonight's game.
8:45 is the start, and I'm excited to see what happens. It's fun to watch this Blues team go to work. And, you know, it's going to be a different series versus the Stars as the one previous, as they all will be. But we will be excited to tune in. John Kelly there with Fox Sports Midwest. Excited to talk to him. When we come back, we're going to speak with Tyrus and Abby Johnson of the movie Unplanned. You've heard of her. We're going to talk to her at 2:10. Gloria.
NBC Sports Network. Tonight.
Back in a second.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.